And this is Ty Taylor on WRMJ. Some really big news and a big shakeup to the IHSA football landscape here in mid-December, as it was announced over the past week that the IHSA's football postseason will be expanding by 16 teams per classification, up to 384 qualifiers from the previous number of 256. We get the audience with IHSA Assistant Executive Director Sam Knox, who oversees football for the association. So I guess we'll start. Sam Knox, really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us. Hopefully you got your last minute Christmas shopping done last week, I guess, right?
Ty, good to hear from you. Yeah, it's always an exciting time when the bylaw proposal announcements are made. Part of me wishes this might be at a different time of the school year, but here we are in mid-December, getting ready to make some significant changes.
Yeah, so really quickly, we'll run over maybe the biggest part of this, and then we'll talk through it more as we progress in our conversation. So as I said, playoffs expanding starting in the 2026 season, 16 teams per class, so now 48 playoff qualifiers in 1A, 2A, up to 8A, 384, the total number now up from the previous number of 256. The season also moves up a week. So just your initial reaction to this proposal being approved by the member schools and being implemented here next season already.
It's certainly a lot to digest in a short amount of time, but people need to understand that the proposers, or the people who wrote this proposal, didn't do it because they wanted more football and more playoffs. They wrote it because they hope this is a remedy for all the conference changes we've seen over the past several decades. And the reason behind it is, if we allow more teams into the playoffs with a 4-5 record or a 3-6 record, or maybe even a 2-7 record with a really strong schedule, maybe those schools will go, hey, you know what? We're going to stay in the conference where we are. We don't need to change to find that elusive 5 wins on our schedule. We'll be okay because we can always win at least 3 games or even 4 games in our conference where we are. We're not going to move. That's the whole reason behind this. But the big picture reason has now caused some other dominoes to start falling. And now it's reality. And we've got to get ready for this coming in the fall of 26.
Well, what you talked about there is maybe the first thing we can hit on is what this is hoping to do. And as you said, fix some of the conference instability where you see teams jumping from league to league. Some schools have a lot of trouble finding non-conference opponents with what people call this drive for five. And I know we don't have, I guess, the data to back it up yet with this being in effect, but do you expect this to actually help change that? Because I know, like, when the playoffs expanded to 8 classes back in the day, that was something that people hoped would happen, and it didn't really happen. So do you think this will actually fix that as we move forward?
I think it will to some degree. Now, I can sit here today and say, hey, this is supposed to fix the conference moves we've all seen over the past few decades. But I think we might even see one more wave of conference moves where teams maybe go, okay, now we don't have to win 5 to qualify for the playoffs anymore. Maybe it's time to move back to a conference that makes more geographic sense that we used to be in many, many years ago. You know, that's why conferences were formed in the first place. You wanted to play schools that were kind of sort of like you, that were kind of sort of in the same geographic area. You don't want your kids out really late on weeknights or weekends, driving multiple hours to go play high school ball games. Stay close to home if possible and play teams that are similar to you. So we might see one more wave of schools doing that over the next few years. And I can hear the feedback already. Well, you said this was going to fix conference changes. Well, hold on. Conferences are changing back to where they used to be because now they can stay where they are and play football against teams and still qualify for the playoffs. So that's just one guy's opinion, but I'm anxious to see how this plays out over the next 5 years.
Yeah, and I guess just overall coming into this vote, now the playoff expansion proposal had got a lot of chatter coming in. Just from you and maybe some of the other people like in the IHSA office, were you surprised that the playoff expansion proposal ended up passing? Because at least for me, I really was, with the people I talked to both locally, statewide, I didn't think it had much of a chance, but just the margin too was surprising for me. So from your perspective, surprised that this ended up going through?
I was a little surprised, Ty. I had told people who asked me, I thought that the vote would be pretty close, but I thought in the end it wouldn't pass. But hey, surprises happen in life, and here we are. I think, again, people don't need to look at this as, ooh, we get to play more football. Well, everybody still gets to play their 9 regular games, and more schools will get to play a 10th game in the playoffs. But because the brackets will be set up where the higher seeded teams have a bye in the first round, I still think by the time we get to the state finals, most of those teams that are playing in the state finals will still be only playing their 14th game in the state championship. And every once in a while, we'll have a lower seed that wins that first round game, gets really hot, starts playing really good football, and makes it all the way to state. And maybe they'll play a 15th game at state, but I think that'll be pretty rare.
And I guess another question, too, as we've talked about, and as we talked about before we started recording, too, when there is a seismic change like this, there's going to be an initial wave of disapproval or anger, maybe, just because I know people can be, you know, somewhat unreceptive to change. And I guess, you know, just speaking on my behalf, like, I think I would definitely prefer, you know, the previous system, but, you know, the member schools get a chance to vote, and that's how the majority wanted. So I guess, again, from your perspective, just how and why did this thing pass, you think, with, you know, what it feels like at least the majority of people who've spoken about it outwardly have been opposed to it, I guess. Do you have maybe an answer to that?
Yeah, I don't have a crystal ball answer, but part of me thinks that we've had enough schools over the years who've had a 3-6 team or a 4-5 team, and they've looked at that team and said, gosh darn, you know, we had some injuries early in the season, maybe didn't get our whole roster back and healthy until week 5 or 6. And we started playing some really good football at the end. And boy, if we could have got into the playoffs at 3-6 or even 4-5 that year, we might have won a game. We're not talking we're going to the state championship, but we might have won a game and been competitive in the second round. So let's give it a shot and give those teams that are in that situation a chance to play in the playoffs. I think, Ty, it also makes the later season games mean a little bit more. And what I mean by that is right now, if you get to week 7, 8, and 9, and you've got a matchup of a team that's only won 2 games against another team that's only won 3 games, well, both of those schools probably know we're not going to the playoffs. We're just kind of playing out the schedule. And now if you're sitting at 2 wins in week 8 or 3 wins in week 9, that game means something to you because you're probably going to make the playoffs and you're trying to get a better seed to put yourself in a good chance to maybe win that first round game. So there's a lot of ways to look at this. No doubt I've heard from some of the longtime veteran coaches who've said, and they haven't been really mad about it. They just said, boy, we really like what we had. We like that you had to qualify. Every game meant something. You had to be at least 5-4 to get into the playoffs. We like that. Let's not change it. So I hear both sides of it. And ultimately, as you said earlier, the schools voted on it. The schools approved it. And here we are. We've got to make the best of it. And our schools will do that. I know ADs and coaches will get ready and make football happen for lots and lots of schools next fall.
Yeah, and maybe just to be like devil's advocate from what you were saying there, I think, like you said, it will make for those schools that, you know, aren't or don't have a chance to get to 5 wins later in the season, make their games feel more meaningful. But overall, I guess, is there a concern that this system will make the regular season games as a whole feel maybe a little bit less meaningful, and maybe the opening rounds of the playoffs feel a little less appealing for the fan just because of the teams who are playing with less wins will be playing in those games? I guess, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I've thought about that, you know, as I'm driving around by myself, radio turned off, thinking about all IHSA things that bounce around in my brain. I don't know that we'll see that. You know, some people may feel that way, but I don't think we'll see people think that, oh, that week 5 game doesn't mean as much as it used to, or that opening round playoff game doesn't mean as much as it used to. I think there will be still that same level of excitement for high school football. I think another piece about this is that I hope it will help those schools that are looking for non-conference games and they've been traditionally really good. and they pick up the phone and say, hey, this is the athletic director at XYZ High School. I know we've been in the playoffs 9 out of the last 10 years. Hey, we need a non-conference game. Are you willing to play us? And the other school says, nope, we're not playing you. Because they know that if they play that game and risk a loss, it puts them in a tougher spot to make the playoffs. So now maybe that schools realize we can make the playoffs with 3 wins or 4 wins, or again, even 2 wins and a strong schedule, they might be more willing to take that risk and play that really good team in the regular season just to give themselves a, you know, a better competition and a better chance to get that higher seed in the playoffs.
Well, I'm curious with your role, as I talked about off the top of our conversation, basically overseeing football at the IHSA level, with your conversations this past week, since it's officially passed and the playoffs are expanding and the season is moving forward, what type of feedback have you gotten, you know, both positively? You spoke a little bit about some of maybe the more veteran coaches not being fully on board with, you know, the playoff expansion. Just overall, what have been some of the main things you've heard on both sides of this as we've moved forward this week?
Well, the number one topic is, how are schools going to change their regular season schedule, knowing that we will now be playing games 1 week earlier than ever before? Some schools and some conferences are just going to take their 9-game schedule, slide it 1 week earlier on the calendar, and keep everything in order. Other conferences and other schools are choosing to take a certain game from the schedule and just move it to the front of the schedule and make it the new week one. Maybe take week 9, move it to week 1, keep all the other dates the same. And we're in a position where the IHSA, we've never been involved in regular season scheduling, and we're not in position now to tell teams how to do their business. But doing those two opposite things there, either keep your schedule the same, move it 1 week earlier, or take week 9 or week 6 or whatever you pick and move it to the front of the schedule, that's going to create issues with officials, because many schools have hired officials out 3, 4, 5, even 6 years down the road. And if neighboring conferences or neighboring schools do things differently with their schedules, now you're going to have officials who say, wait a minute, week 3 next year, now I have 2 games on my calendar. What do I do with this? Or week 4, now I have no games on my calendar because a school moved a game. So it's going to get challenging with officials, athletic directors, and coaches. Just, they need to be patient with that and maybe have some good conversations with their neighbors of, how are you guys going to do it? Maybe we can do the same thing to make our schedules match up so we can hire the same pool of officials.
Well, as you said, you know, schools have their football schedules, the local control thing. They're able to schedule basically on their own from weeks 1 through weeks 9. You talked about, you know, the challenging part of trying to find officials maybe is you have to schedule games late now. So as you look forward to 2026, as we're recording this, what, we're basically 8 months away from the season kicking off. I think officially August 20th is the first date that games can be played. There's no doubt 100% that this will be in effect in 2026, correct? There's no way that you can't put it off a year to try to make it a better schedule or maybe a better transition. This 100% is kicking off in 2026, correct?
Well, yeah, and that's a great question, Ty, that some others have asked. Why didn't the schools delay this a year? Well, if you remember a few years ago, when there was a proposal to go to the district scheduling model, and remember, 1 year it was approved by our member schools. Yes, we're going to use the district scheduling model, but we're not going to put it into effect until 2 years down the road. Well, guess what happened the very next year? Somebody put in a proposal to undo all the district stuff and just keep things the way they were. So I think the proposer of this option of moving the schedule 1 week earlier, adding a round to the playoffs, was concerned about that. If we delay this a couple years down the road, somebody else is probably going to sweep in and try to undo all the work that was done. So there's some thought there too. To answer your question, yes, as we sit here in December and I'm talking to you today, we plan on this being implemented next fall unless something comes out of the blue that we've never expected. But people have to remember, we have a democratic process at the IHSA where any school can submit a bylaw proposal about any topic in our bylaws. And if it gets a majority support from our member schools, it goes into effect the next year. So here we are.
And that's something, too, that's important to mention when you look at this proposal and this change that's been approved. This wasn't something that the IHSA did on its own. As everything with these bylaw proposals, one of the member schools authored the proposal. It made it through the legislative commission. It got on the all-school ballot. Every school in the state that's an IHSA member has the chance to vote on it, and it passed with a pretty overwhelming majority. So did I get that right? Just for people who are listening to this that maybe aren't, you know, fully 100% follow IHSA athletics to that level, that's how the process works, right?
Correct. Yeah, and I used the phrase democratic process earlier, and some people may or may not. I don't mean to get political on this whole thing, but that's what it is at its core is our association is a membership driven and membership governed association. 125 years ago, a group of principals got together and formed the Illinois High School Association and started writing our handbook. And over time, those bylaws and policies and procedures have been edited, altered, updated. And here we are in 2025, where a school, actually a group of schools, wrote a proposal to say we're going to change the football season and do it this way. And that went to the ballot, and our membership voted on it, just like they vote on a lot of other proposals. And a simple majority passes, and that's where we are with the football proposal today. As democratic as you can get, yeah, even the tiniest school in the state or the biggest school in the state or anybody in between can write a bylaw proposal about any bylaw topic they want.
Well, and it seems like, too, there are bylaw proposals pertaining to football scheduling or football playoffs every year, it feels like. And I don't know if that'll necessarily change with this being implemented. But as you look forward to this process, you know, in calendar year 2026 in November and into December, do you think that there might be a proposal author to try to go back to what it previously was? I mean, it's maybe too early to have a true forecast of something like that. But at least for me, I don't think this is definitely going to stop like these bylaw amendment proposals when it comes to football scheduling. So I guess your thoughts on that as we start to look forward.
Oh, boy. Ty, the dust hasn't even settled on this proposal yet.
I know.
And you're asking me about the future. But no, that's a really legit question. And other people have already asked that, too. I don't mean to give a vanilla answer here, but that's really what it is our handbook is what it is. We have over 800 high schools that belong to our association, and they know that they can write a proposal to change a bylaw. It has to get support from their member, you know, fellow member schools. So, yeah, maybe we go through this in the fall and people look at it and go, I don't like this. I want to change it back to the way it was. Well, they can write that and see if it gets support from our membership. But I think in this day and age that we live in, not to sound like old man here, but people want to change things so much. Change this, change that, change this, change that. I think it's probably wise at some point to let the dust settle, let things sink in. Let's try this for a few years and see what it's really, really like. Don't just go by your gut reaction to either I like it or I don't like it. Let's try it and let's give it a really good try for a few years before we start looking at it and say, hey, this is not as bad as I thought it was, or man, this is really terrible. Let's go back to the way it was, or let's take something that's not as bad as I thought it was and let's make it a little bit better for the future. So that's hard to do, but yeah, it's an annual thing. And any of our bylaws really don't have an expiration date on them. There's nothing in there that says, you know, we have to try this for a certain number of years before we change it. So it could be an annual thing. And that makes our role at the IHSA and our member schools a little more challenging when people aren't patient enough to let things play out and see how this really works several years down the road.
Well, another part of this that hasn't got as much discussion is the fact that the season moves forward a week where the games kick off, but the first official day of practice remains the same. So you lose basically one full week of practice getting ready to begin. And then with that, this changes the, you know, parameters for kids to be eligible to play to 9 practices before the season kicking off, as it was previously 12. And I wanted to ask you about the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee, or SMAC, that the IHSA has together. It includes doctors, athletic trainers. I think there's a mental health professional on there. Well, and then a handful of principals and athletic directors make that group up. And they held a meeting in October where their minutes are available publicly on the IHSA's official website. And looking through them, it's interesting because at least from the minutes and the comments that were posted, it doesn't look like that group was on board with a proposal like this, where two of the things I want to quote, and then I'll ask you about kind of the reaction to that, where one of them speaking about this proposal 19, which is the proposal we're speaking about that was accepted and approved and moving forward with the playoff expansion and the practices being limited in terms of, you know, being eligible to play with that. So one of the top thing that it says is states with lower acclimatization numbers have had heat-related deaths and injuries, which I think kind of jumps off when you read that. And then the bottom one says, quote, seems like we're sacrificing player safety. So I guess from that committee, seeing some of those thoughts and discussion items, any concern with this as you move forward with that?
Yeah, there's certainly some concern. And the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee is correct in their concerns about reducing the preseason practice days. Kind of the industry standard nationwide is somewhere between, I think, 10 to 15 preseason practice days. Our players are going to be required to have 9 preseason practice days starting next fall. But I know we'll have ongoing conversations with the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee to see where can we get to a good spot with all this. Maybe that means the following year we start football practice a few days earlier than all the other fall sports. Some of your listeners may remember back when I was a kid and even as a young coach, we started football practice on a Wednesday, and then all the other fall sports started practice on the following Monday. So football got a 4-day head start on all the other sports to be ready for their first game. Maybe that's a reasonable accommodation and change in the bylaws to allow that to happen. But yes, the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee is a valuable resource for us. They do a lot of good things for our membership, but at this point, you know, the schools voted to go with this bylaw, and now the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee will work with us to try to come up with a better solution on that preseason practice piece.
Yeah, and I guess the follow-up question with that Sports Medicine Advisory Committee is just what the authority that their opinion or endorsement has on some of these proposals. Because as I said, as you read through it, clearly, you know, it wasn't in favor of the practice part of this proposal. So with that, I mean, how much does their endorsement or unendorsement, I guess you could say, play into a proposal's success rate of getting past the legislative commission and getting to the all school ballot for schools to be able to vote on?
Well, that's a really good question, Ty. And the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee is exactly that. It's an advisory committee. That group doesn't get to make the final decision on certain topics. They can certainly give their expert opinions, and they often do. And that's great to have that. Like many of our sports advisory committees, they're advisory. They give their opinions. They tell us how they think things should go. But in the end, it's up to our membership to vote, knowing the information from Sports Medicine. And don't get me wrong, when we took these out to our town meetings around the state back in November, that was a piece that we highlighted, that the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee doesn't really support this because they're concerned about fewer days of preseason practice for our kids. But again, I know conversations will continue to happen to try to come to a better solution on the preseason practice part.
Well, and as you talked about it earlier, you called it a democratic process for these bylaw proposals that come onto the all-school ballot. You have the legislative commission, which we talked about, that basically green lights some of those proposals to get to the ballot to be voted on. So with that, I guess a question I have is, you know, let's say, for instance, not specifically this, but if Sam Knox or the IHSA board or whoever, some of the administration team there, doesn't like a bylaw proposal or thinks it doesn't fit to what the IHSA is all about or isn't in the best interest of interscholastic athletics, but it gets on the all-school ballot and passes, there's no recourse, right? As you said, it's basically just if it gets on the ballot and is approved, it's approved and it's going to be implemented. There's no way to like veto it, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. And that's a part of the whole thing that people need to understand is once our membership votes and approves a bylaw, the only way that can be changed or undone is to go through the process again sometime down the road and have our membership vote to undo it. So you're exactly right, Ty. Even if there's a certain people in the state who don't like a bylaw proposal that was passed, they can't come to our board and ask our board of directors or our staff to say, hey, can you guys change this piece or can you change that sentence of the bylaw? Can we delete this part? Can we add something to it? No, to put it bluntly, that ship has sailed. That was supposed to be done back in the fall when we're getting ready for this process before the official bylaw proposal goes to the ballot. And once it's voted on, it's a bylaw until it's changed sometime in the future.
So talking about more on the playoff expansion proposal of this thing, and I think it's interesting when you look at a lot of things at the high school level, it feels like most things kind of trickle down from the college level and from the professional level where, you know, as you know, we're starting to see more and more like transfers for high school athletics for whatever reason from school year to school year. We've seen, you know, playoff expansion at the college level in the football playoff, of course. We've seen it at the professional level in multiple of the professional leagues as well. And I guess one of the things that I've seen people talk about on social media, and if this actually ends up becoming an issue, I guess remains to be seen. But one of the concerns I've seen people say over and over again is, well, if a team is having, you know, a poor season, and maybe it's a small school where they're struggling with numbers anyway, and they're 2-7 or 3-6, and they get in, but they have a handful of injuries, and maybe they don't have enough numbers to field a team, or maybe some kids, you know, want to move on to the winter sport or activity, and maybe the school itself just doesn't want to play a playoff game with a lackluster record or whatever. You see that sometimes where colleges will, you know, opt out of playing in bowl games for that same reason. So is that a concern, I guess, is a question number one. And number two, do you expect to maybe put like a safeguard in place to try to help schools not opt out of playing in the football playoffs? Is that something you're worried about?
Well, I wasn't worried about it until you just said it. I'm kidding. But no, I can see your point. You know, you get a first round matchup of a 2-7 against a strong 6-3 team, and that 2-7 team might have some concerns. But no, I hadn't thought about that. Could it happen? I guess so. We've never had a team forfeit or, you know, step aside for a playoff game and say, we don't want to play that team. But yeah, you see it at the college level more and more because certain players they're holding out because they're going to the NFL. Of course, we don't have that in the high school world, but yeah, we're not super concerned about that at this point. I certainly hope that doesn't become an issue, you know, at some point in the future.
I agree with you. I hope I didn't speak it into existence, but I figured I'd ask about it. Just a few other things before we wrap up with you looking ahead. And, you know, we've had these proposals, it feels like every year, about districts or regions or whatever you want to call them. Do you think this feels like a step in getting there eventually? Now, there was a proposal that didn't make it through the legislative commission that had both of these in there, with it basically being a regionalized schedule model plus the playoff expansion. Do you think this is maybe a step towards getting there or not so much?
I don't think so, Ty. I think schools are really, they like the ability to be able to select their own conference, build their own schedules like they always have for, you know, since the IHSA has existed. And they've been pretty clear to us on some recent discussions that they don't want the IHSA to step in and schedule their districts. They don't support a model like that. So I don't think this change pulls us any closer to a district model. I could be off in my prediction there, but nobody's really said, hey, this is step one toward maybe, you know, 8 or 9, 10 years down the road, we'll have districts. Nobody has really said that at this point. So between you and me, well, not between you and me because we're on the radio, but I really think the district model is in the rearview mirror. I don't think we're going to go back to that because schools like the opportunity to schedule their own games and have that control at their local high school. And we support that too.
Well, as you move forward with this too, it's getting closer to all of the other IHSA team sports where the postseason includes every participating school. Football is still the only one you have to qualify for. Now, I think for the first time, more than half of the participating schools will be in the football playoffs. Again, this would have to be something that would be, you know, voted on as a bylaw proposal and then, you know, approved by the members. But are we moving towards eventually getting to a point where every school is a part of the playoff field, you think? I know that would be a really challenging thing to put together, but has there been any chatter that you've heard about that?
You know, just a little bit, and I don't think there's much support for that concept. You know, we hear from coaches all the time that, hey, we don't really like the idea of everybody qualifying in football, because those teams that went 1-8, 0-9, even 2-7 sometimes, by the time they get to the end, they're usually ready to be done and move on to a winter sport. You know, unfortunately, I've been there as one of those coaches many years ago, coaching a team that had a record similar to that. And if somebody said, hey, I know you went 1-8 or 0-9, but guess what? You got to go play a playoff game next week. It's really hard to get kids up for that and get communities up for that, because they're looking on to their winter sport and getting ready for that. So there's been a little chatter. Some people think it might be a good idea because other states do it that way. But in reality, the way our brackets are set up, it wouldn't be a wise idea, in my opinion, to put those teams with 1-8s, 0-9s in the bracket. Just wouldn't be good for the overall health of high school football.
So again, it's 48 teams qualifying for each classification. They'll be seeded in 1A through 6A, 1 through 24 in the north half, and 1 through 24 in the south half. And then the 7A and 8A brackets will be just seeded a straight 1 through 48. Before we get into that, I wanted to talk to you about just the process of, you know, this being approved. And with the way that teams